Okay, we're on Lamed Vav Amud Bet in the Mishnah. So if we get to this Mishnah that we've heard about a million times already, Ve'elu she'en lehem knas. Okay, these are the people that don't have to pay knas. Habala giyora bala shvuya bala shibcha shenifdu v'shenitgayru v'shenishakru yiterot al benot shalosh shenevi yomachat. Right, last time it was, they were nitgayru less than three. And if it was less than three, we can assume they're still betulim. Because even if someone had sex with them under the age of three, the assumption was that the betulim would come back, okay? Or that it wouldn't tear their hymen, or however you view it. So now these women are, it happened that they were still a giyorit or a shvuy or a shivcha older than the age of three. Therefore, assumption, and we're going to talk about this assumption, someone must have had sex with them, right? Likely, and therefore they're not a betula, and therefore they don't get the knas. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shvuya shenifte harehi b'kedushata afa pi shegedola. Here's a big line, which we're going to have a lot of difficulty with. Rabbi Yehuda says, a shvuya is different from all the other women. Okay, now this goes against everything we saw before about the shtei nashim shenishbu. What do we assume that someone slept with them and all those mishnas we learned before? According to Rabbi Yehuda, she is b'kedushata afa pi shegedola. Okay? The assumption is she didn't get raped. We're going to talk about this as soon as we get to the Gemara. So we'll leave it aside for right now, but there's a unique opinion. Next cases, and this goes, right, this is a real continuation of the last mission when we had the Chayve Lavim, the Chayve Kritut, right, where we say they do get knas according to our Mishnah, right, and there were machlokot about all that with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, who disagree with each of those two parts, the Chayve Lavim and the Chayve Kritut. Now we get sub to the Chayve Mitah Beitin. Habal bito, v'al bat bito, v'al bat bino, v'al bat ishto, v'al bat bina, v'al bat bita. Okay, in other words, his daughter, his granddaughter from his daughter's side, his granddaughter from his son's side, his wife's daughter or grandchildren, okay, not from him, obviously. Ein lahem knas, why? And here it's clear in the Mishnah, mipnei shemitchayev benafsho, shemitatam bidei beitin, v'chola mitchayev benafsho, and here we see it inside, ein mishalei mamon sheneemar, v'imlo yeh ason anesh yanesh. Right, they quote that pasuk about the ason, right? That the time he pays the money in the case of the two women, the two men fighting with the pregnant woman in the middle, he doesn't have to pay the dmei vlado, the value of the fetus, if he killed her. Okay, so there you have the kimle halacha in the Torah, and that's where we learn it from. Okay, we're going to get to other things about it later. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes this statement, and we're going to have a lot of issues with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. The whole question with Rabbi Yehuda here is, when Rabbi Yehuda says the shvuya, right? Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is talking about a knas case, okay? In a knas case, what's he saying? A shvuya is b'kedushata, right? That she's, let's put it right, we'll say she's b'chezkat bitula for the purposes of the issue of knas. Now, the whole question is he saying this specifically for the knas, but he wouldn't necessarily hold shvuya is always considered a betula, right? There's other ramifications. Can she marry a kohen, right? All sorts of issues that come up that we've seen. So does he say it just for the knas issue, or does he mean it across the board, that a shvuya is always considered b'kedushata? So comes Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are saying the same thing. Now, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is Hadam Aram, what we just saw. Rabbi Dosa said, Detanya, Shvuya Ochelet Betruma. Okay, Rabbi Dosa says a statement when it comes to eating truma. He says a Shvuya is not considered that she was raped and she can eat truma. Okay, and therefore, why is that? What does he say? Amar Rabbi Dosa, V'chima Asala Aravi Halaz. V'chima Pneshami Echla Ben Dadeha Psalam and Akuna. Okay, very strong line. We actually made mention of this a long time back. I quoted this. We talked about this also with the shvuya, that there were different approaches to how to understand the shvuya. Do you remember then we talked about percentages? What are the chances are? Remember, because the shvuya was always a case where we just don't know what happened. So how much do we think something happened to her? How much do we not think something happened to her? What are the chances that she was raped? What are the chances that she wasn't raped? So comes Rabbi Dosa and he says, we don't think she was raped at all. Okay, now some of this could be circumstantial. Who were the people that were capturing people in those days and what were they doing with them? So he says this Aravi guy who captured her, you know, because he touched her between her breasts, that's what they're saying here, right? Okay, he fondled her breasts. That's going to mean that he slept with her. Okay, the idea here being that people who were capturing people, according to Rabbi Dosa, weren't raping them. That wasn't what their interest was. What was their interest? Money, right? They wanted pidyon shvuyim. They wanted to get ransom. That's what interested them. They weren't interested in raping the women. Okay, so now, what's the assumption then? So if Rabbi Dosa says she eats truma, right? Because what's the assumption? She's bikdushata, right? She's still bikdushata. She's not raped. So what does he say? Ah, that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's assumption is, that a shvuyah is considered not raped, in which case, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't only say it in our case, but he'd say it in all sorts of other cases, right? A shvuyah is generally considered like that. So now we're going to have some questions about that. Amar Rabba, Dilma lohi, akan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda hacha, ela shelo yehe chote niskar. Rabba wants to say, maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are not necessarily saying the same thing. Maybe they're not talking about the same thing. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda wants to say that, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Ashvuyah sheniftet harei b'dushata, and therefore what? Therefore what? You have to pay the knas, right? According to this, you come to the conclusion that yesh lak knas. Why does he think yesh lak knas? Not so much because he's so convinced that she wasn't raped, okay? But because shelo yehe chote niskar. He doesn't want this rapist to get away with murder, right? Not murder, but rape. He doesn't want the rapist to get away without paying a knas just because there's a question mark on this woman. Okay? But that's different than saying, well, she can eat truma, right? Eat truma, there's no issue of chote niskar. Okay? There we're just machmir, okay? Aval hatam, but maybe in the other case, with Rabbi Dosa, with the truma karabana sfirale. Or you could say that otherwise. Inami. Agkan lo kama Rabbi Dosa hatam. Maybe Rabbi Dosa wouldn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda in our case. Why? Rabbi Dosa says it there, ela betruma derabanan. When Rabbi Dosa allows you to eat truma, he's not talking about truma. He's talking about truma bismanazeh. Truma bismanazeh is only derabanan. Okay? So maybe when it comes to derabanan, he's going to treat a shvuyah as if she wasn't raped. But when it comes to our case of the knas, a knas is a halacha midoraita. So midoraita, we're going to say, oh, he doesn't have to pay the knas, kirabanan sfirale, right? That he doesn't have to pay the knas because we can assume she was raped. Okay? So in other words, we can make distinctions about which case we would say what. So amar le Abaye. So now, Abai is going to say like this. If that's your distinction, that the whole issue for Rabbi Yehuda is shelo yehe chote niskar, okay, he's going to ask a question on that. Amar Abai, v'tamei to Rabbi Yehuda, hacha shelo yehe chote niskar, v'hatani, doesn't it say in a braita, Rabbi Yehuda omer, shvuya sheniftet, harehi b'kdushata, afilu bat eser shanim k'tubata matayim. Here we have another ramification of a shvuya. What do we say? According to Rabbi Yehuda, her ktubah is matayim. So what do you say? Ah, there's no issue of a chote niskar in that case. This is just saying a shvuya, her ktubah is matayim, because we assume she's a betula. So now what do they say? Right, bahata maish shelo yehe chote niskar ika. There is no chote niskar there. There's no chote bichlal in a regular ktubah case. So what do they say? No, there's a different issue, though, that's similar to the chote niskar. And what's the issue? When we have some sort of a motivating factor, we're going to treat her as a betula. When we don't have a motivating factor, like truma, we're going to treat her like a ba'ula. Okay? So now, what's the issue? With the knas, we don't want the rapist to get away with it. When it comes to the ketubah, can you think of what the issue is? We're always worried with the ketubah. We learned about this. They were worried that no one will marry her, right? In other words, if the people won't want to marry her. So if she's a shvuya, if she's a shvuya and we say, oh, you must have been raped, and we're putting your ketubah down to mea, yeah, people are going to say, oh, she's a ba'ula, I don't want to marry her. Okay, so they want to protect the woman. Here it's interesting. Sometimes we saw it that they lowered the ketubah to encourage people to marry, like with a, I think we saw with a shote, or, right, we didn't want the chereshet, there was some chereshet, we didn't want her to end up that people would marry her, or something along those lines. Anyway, in this case, it's the opposite. We want the halacha to reflect the fact that we don't think she was raped, so that people won't say, oh, this woman was raped, we don't want to marry her, or we're protecting the woman. Okay, so now, we basically answered, right, that in the end, we're going to make distinctions. So Rabbi Yehuda would only say it in certain cases. Okay? That goes against what Rabbi Yochanan said. But now we're going to ask another question of Rabbi Yochanan. B'sever Rabbi Yochanan b'kdusha ta'kaima? Does he really hold this? V'ha Tanya, there's another brayta. So what we see here, I just want to make this very clear. There's all different sources of Rabbi Yehuda, and they don't all necessarily work in, right? In other words, it depends. Depends how you view it. Really, what we're struggling with is Rabbi Yochanan, who wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds it across the board. But now we're going to see that he doesn't necessarily hold it across the board. And so now we're going to see another source. V'hatanya hapoda et ha-shvuya yisa'ena. If you redeem a shvuya, you're allowed to marry her. Me'id ba, if you testify and say, I know this woman wasn't raped, lo yisa'ena. Okay, we're going to talk about this in a minute, what exactly the issue is. The point is, if you put out the money for her, then you can marry her. If you testify, you didn't put out the money for her, you didn't redeem her, but you testify, I know this woman wasn't raped when she was taken captive, you're not allowed to marry her because we're suspect that you're lying just because you want to marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach u ben kach, either which way, lo yisa'ena. The one who was poda and the one who was me'iba. Okay, so first of all, before we even get into Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to talk about some problem within this Mishnah. Within this brayta, hagufakasha, the brayta itself is difficult. Amarta hapodet hashvuyi yisa'ena, v'hadartana me'iba lo yisa'ena. And it says, if you're poda her, you can marry her. But then it says, if you're me'iba, lo yisa'ena. Mishum de me'iba lo yisa'ena. In other words, I don't understand. It sounds like you can be poda her without testifying and just marry her. Because the assumption is, you don't have to assume she's raped. But then it says, but if you come and testify about her, it seems like you need testimony. The first case seemed to imply you don't need testimony. You could just marry her without testimony. So how could you, on the one hand, marry her without testimony, and then just because you brought testimony, now it makes it worse? If you don't even need testimony, so then why should it be worse if you come in your me'id? So the answer, halokasha, don't worry, it's not a problem. Why? Hachi kamar, this is what it really meant to say. Hapodeh tashfuya u'me'id ba. If you're poded shvuya and you testify about her, then you say in that. In other words, it wasn't a case where there wasn't any testimony. It means you were poded, you redeemed her, and you testify. We'll see in a minute why there's going to be a difference. But if me'ibakdi, if you just are me'iba, you didn't put up the money for her, lo yisa'ena. Okay? So we'll get to this in a minute, why that is. Okay, let's just hold off for 1 minute, but they're going to say, in both cases there was testimony, the question was who brought the testimony. If it's the guy who redeemed her, we're going to believe him. If it's some guy who didn't redeem her, we're not going to believe him. Soon we'll see why. Anyway, now they say, mikom akom kasha the Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it kasha the Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda said, ben kach u ben kach lo yisa'ena. What does that seem to imply? That we assume this woman was raped. We don't believe not the guy who redeemed her and not the guy who's testifying about her who wants to marry her. No one's believed. She's assumed to be, right? We're obviously talking about a Kohen here, right? Yeah. Sorry. We're talking about a Kohen because a Kohen can't marry someone who was raped. So he says, you don't trust, right? You can't marry her because we're assuming she's a Ba'ula. So now, that goes against Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan understood that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't just saying it in the Knas case. He was saying it across the board. So if he's saying it across the board, why here does he not say it? So Amara Papa, Ema, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ben Kach Uben Kach Yisa'ena. It's not Lo Yisa'ena, it's Yisa'ena. There's a problem with the transmission of this Braita. Okay? And he really meant to say, whether you're the Redeemer or you're not the Redeemer and you testify about her, either which way, you're believed because she's b'chezkat betula. We assume that the shvuya is always b'kedushata. And he holds it across the board, and that's how he answers it. But you have to change the word lo yisa'ena to yisa'ena. Okay? Now, what I actually saw a note in the Koran. They write in the, it's a good note. It's, I don't remember who in whose name it was, but they said it could be, it's read as lo yisa'ena, like as a question. Lo yisa'ena, and could it not be? How could that be?
It depends where you put the comma.
Exactly. Now we're going to see another explanation. Rav Huna, Bereid, Rav Yoshua, what you just see here is that they were struggling with the transmission of these braitot. As it could be, very simply, that there were two different versions of what Rabbi Yehuda thought. Okay? It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't answer that. Sometimes the Gemara says, trade Tanai Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Two different versions of what he thought. But anyway, it's definitely another possibility. Rav Huna, Bereid, Rav Yoshua, Amar La'olam Kitakatane, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? And that's, this is Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what he meant, the way it says it. L'divrehem de Rabbanan ka'amar lehu. He was saying, Aliba de Chachamim. He was arguing with Chachamim. He was saying like this. L'didi, what I think is, ben kachu ben kach yisa'ena. Ela l'didchu, ben kachu ben kach lo yisa'ena. What he's saying is, l'shitatchem, I think that according to what you hold, if you think she's b'kedusha te'kai, well then, for sure she can get married. That's my opinion. But if you think that she's lo b'kedusha te'kai, well then you shouldn't rely on the guy who redeemed her, and you shouldn't rely on the guy who testified about her. Either which way, they're both no gabadabar. They both want to marry her, and they both should not be believed. Okay? So, that's what you should have said. Okay? You should hold that. I don't know why you're holding what you're holding. Another, right? And according to your thinking, I think you're wrong. Okay. And it's not just I disagree with you, but I disagree with within your thinking, the way you're saying it. So now they're going to explain Shita Rabbanan. Hapodet hashvuyah me'iba yise'ena. Why? Why is the podet? This is a great line. You can always quote this. Lo shti inish zuzi bichti. People don't waste their money. Okay? So if he's going to throw out money to redeem her, he must know, if he's a Kohen, right, that she's someone he's allowed to marry. He's not going to spend the money when he knows that maybe she was, right, if she was raped, then she's going to be forbidden to him. So he's not going to waste his money on something like that. But, me'iba, kedei shelo yisa'ena, right, but if he's me'iba, me'bakdi, if he's just me'iba, not with the, and he didn't redeem her, he didn't put out any money, then lo yisa'ena. Shema inav natamba, and as maybe he's just interested in her, and he just wants to lie to allow himself to marry her. Okay, but if he didn't put out any money, then we don't have any trust in him. Rami le Rav Papa bar Shmuel Rav Yosef. Okay, now we're going to have another question on the Havanah of Rabbi Yochanan. Again, this concept that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that across the board, a shvuya is always okay. So Rav Papa bar Shmuel says to Rabbi Yosef, here's a question. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kdusha te'kaima? Does he really think a shvuya is always okay? V'hatani, here's another case. We're going to keep seeing, okay? You can sort of see it on the chart. There's constantly going to be some contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda thinking b'kdusha te'kai to some other brayta that seems to indicate that he doesn't hold that. Hagiyoret shenit gaira v'ra'ata dam. Now we're going to compare shvuya to giyoret, which are generally in the same category. So there should be no reason not to make this comparison. Although in the end, the Gemara is going to answer, there's a difference between a giyoret and a shvuya. Okay, but in general, what do we assume? A shvuya, a giyoret, right? All these people were, you know, slept around or were raped, right? Depending on if it's the giyoret, she slept around. If it's the shvuya, she was raped. So now, hagiyoret shenit gaira, she converts. Virata dam, and immediately she sees blood, okay, meaning she gets her period. Now, what's the issue? We don't know when do you become tme'ah? When the blood leaves your uterus. Now, there's time between when your blood leaves your uterus till you see the blood. So, therefore, there's this halacha, there's a machloket about how far back do we go in terms of tum'ot and taharot that you touch, right? Like, things that you touch, are they mitame? Because you touch them when you might have already had blood coming out of your uterus. Okay? There's a whole machloket about it. So Rabbi Yehuda, now with the giyoret, what's the issue? She wasn't even Jewish then, right?
Yeah.
So, Rabbi Yehuda omer dayashata. In other words, it's enough for when she, the moment that she saw the blood. That's when you start it. From the moment she sees the blood, you don't go backwards. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we'll get to all this in Nida about general people, not Giyorot, but we have a long time, that's our last Masechet. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harehi Kechol Anashim, she's like all other women. And all other women, what's the halacha? Mitama me'ed le'edu mipgida lepgida. Okay, it's either 24 hours earlier, in other words, we assume it could be a 24-hour period elapsed where the blood had been from the uterus and got stuck there until it started actually coming out, or from the time of your last bedikah. Okay, now nowadays we recommend to women not to do bedikah unless you absolutely have to. But in those days, because they were touching things that we needed to know, are they tamei or tahor? Again, depending if you were in a family of kohanim, maybe more so because the truma. If you were, in the Beit HaMikdash, obviously, or things were going to the Beit HaMikdash, you had to be much more careful. So they would do bedikah. So let's say you did a bedikah 6 hours before you started, right? So if it's whichever is less. So if you get your period at 12, you see blood, and it's 6 o'clock, you had already done a bedikah, so then it's from 6 o'clock. We assume, so you did a bedikah, you're fine. But once, because it's an internal exam, which you would know then if the blood was coming out of your uterus. But if you didn't do a bedikah, then it's 24 hours. Okay, that's not so relevant for our purposes. Here's the relevance. Utzricha lahamtin shlosha chodeshim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. A giyoret who converts, here we go back to our famous halacha we learned in Yevamot, that in order to distinguish a baby, since there were 7-month babies and 9-month babies, and we want to make sure we know who the father is, after she converts, just like a woman who gets divorced and a woman whose husband dies and all that, you have to wait 3 months before you can get remarried to make sure to separate between, husbands. So now, or people you slept with. So the assumption is, what's the assumption here? According to Rabbi Yehuda, she has to wait 3 months. Why does she have to wait 3 months? Because the assumption is she was having sex before. For Rabbi Yossi, matir le'aresu linaseh miyad. Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to wait the 3 months. So now, we're basically saying, right, that she has to wait 3 months, meaning we could assume she had sex, but with the shvuya, we don't assume. So now the Gemara says, why are you even asking this question? I'm like, giyoret, shvuya karami? You're comparing two different things, apples and oranges. Giyoret lo mintera nafsha. Shvuya mintera nafsha. A giyoret is not careful. She sleeps around. That's what a giyoret does. But a shvuya is going to know she wants to go back into the fold, right? She's planning to get redeemed. She's hoping. She has high hopes that she's going to be redeemed. And therefore, she's going to protect herself, right? You can obviously say the opposite here. Because a shvuya, she might have no control over it. Right? It's, whether somebody rapes her or not, it's not usually, right? Here it's really interesting. It sounds like she has control. She's going to watch herself. Now, how much you can watch yourself when you're taken captive and someone's trying to rape you, not so simple. But that's, again, you can see that the Gemara is stuck in trying to resolve these contradictions and they're pushed into a corner and they kind of answer up things. Okay. Virame shvuya shvuya. But now they're going to say, but I'll bring you a stira with a shvuya shvuya. Okay? Here's a better stira. D'tanya, hagiyoret, v'hashvuya. Here it says it explicitly. That brayta you brought only talked about a giyoret, but here's what the list giyoret and shivcha. And shvuya. And shivcha, sheniftu, v'shenitgayru, v'sheneshachru, yiteirot abonot shalosh shenim v'yam achad, tzrichot lahamdin shloshah chodeshim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. There we see it explicitly. A shvuya has to wait 3 months, so obviously, Rabbi Yehuda can't hold. Here we have a great source, right? Rabbi Yehuda can't hold that a shvuya b'dushatei kaima if she has to wait the 3 months. Waiting 3 months clearly assumes she must have slept with someone. So now what do they answer? Ishtik, he was silent. He didn't have an answer. Okay, so that's a good question. So now he answers. Amrle midi shmiala baha amrle hachi amarav sheshet shera'uha shenivala. So what do they say? Here's our answer. The case where she has to wait 3 chodeshim is when, actually I put it in the wrong part here, move it over. The case where she has to wait, the shvuya has to wait 3 chodeshim is when we have proof that she was raped. In other words, somebody saw her. So now we get to a regular shvuya who we have no evidence about, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is considered not raped. But if we actually see she's raped, well then she has to wait the 3 months. Now what's going to be the problem, obviously? There's a machloket, right? Rabbi Yehuda says she has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi says she can get married immediately. If ra'ua shenivala, well then how could we allow her to marry immediately? If we know she was raped when she was a shvuya, how could we possibly not wait the 3 months? Now you're going to have confusion. Who's the husband? Who's the father of the baby? So, ihachi, my time to Rabbi Yossi. I'm a rabba, kasava Rabbi Yossi, okay? Isha mazna mishamesha pimoch. Shalotitaber. She's going to take precautions. She's going to make sure, when she's in a shvuya, she's going to make sure that she's got birth control on her. Okay? Because she certainly doesn't want to get pregnant when she's a shvuya. Okay? So now we're seeing, again, it depends what case you're talking about. When you're talking about the Knas case, birth control is irrelevant, right? Was she raped? Was she, right? Was when she was a shvuya, is she a betula or is she not a betula, right? Did she still have signs of virginity or not? When it comes to waiting the 3 months, the question is she pregnant? Well, pregnant is a whole different story, because pregnant, obviously shvuya, we can assume they're coming up with birth control methods. Where they're finding methods of birth control, I don't know exactly, but we're going to see in a minute. Okay? So the assumption is, I mean, again, what's a moch? Right? Birth control methods were not as sophisticated as they are nowadays. I'm sure they put something inside to block stuff from going in. And that was their birth control method. So now, bishlama giyorin. So we can understand, now which of these cases, remember our brayta, you can look inside. Here's the brayta. Giyorin, shvuya, shifcha. Sheniftu, nitgairu, and nishachu. Now the assumption is, why does he let them get married immediately, Rabbi Yossi? Because what? They were using birth control methods. Well, now, does this work for all those women? So, when it comes to, okay, and this is going to a little bit go against some other tfisa we had about the Giyoret before. What did we assume about the Giyoret? That she's always sleeping around. Yeah. But now, what are they saying? Giyoret, kevan de da'atali igiyure min tira nafsha. A Giyoret, 3 months before she's converting, a Giyoret doesn't, converts don't come out of the blue and convert immediately. They're going through a whole conversion process. Before the 3 months before they're converting, they're obviously going to be more careful, right? And they're going to watch themselves. A shvuya nami delo yada hechi mimatule, right? She doesn't know where they're bringing her. She's hoping they're going to bring her back home, right? That she's going to be redeemed. So she's also going to watch herself. Shivcha nami deshama mipi mara. A shivcha also, how does she get freed? Her owner frees her. Well, she must be, right? The assumption is, I don't know why this is so clear cut, but that when he's going to free her, it's also not just a one day thing, I'm going to free you tomorrow, but she hears him talking about it, right? That he's been talking about freeing her, she knows it's coming. But there's another case that doesn't work out. What's the case? There's another case when a shifcha gets freed, okay? An eved or a shifcha, if their owner hits them, okay? Yotzah b'shem v'ayin. Okay, let's say he knocks at her tooth. She immediately goes free. Well, there she's had no forewarning. She didn't expect he was going to smack her in the face and knock out her tooth. So you can't say, well, she washed herself for 3 months. So that case doesn't make any sense according to Rabbi Yossi. So now, ma'ika lememar. So what are you going to say in that case? So now they're going to suggest something and reject it. V'chitema kol mimela lo amar Rabbi Yossi. If you're going to say that Rabbi Yossi wasn't referring to something that came up all of a sudden, he really was only referring to a Giyoret who was planning to convert, a Shifcha who was planning to be freed and knew about it, not Yotzah B'Shem V'Ayin, and the Shvuya who was looking forward to being redeemed. But we have a problem, because here's a case of an unexpected situation where he also says you don't have to wait the 3 months. What's that? Hare anusa umefuta. Dimimela, right? Those things happen. You don't know that you're going to be seduced or raped. It all of a sudden happens. Vitanya, there's a brayta that says, Anusa mefuta, again, the same machloket. Tzrichot lamtin shlosha chodashim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi matir le'ares v'linase miyad. So, what do they say? So here, the woman couldn't have planned on birth control. She wasn't expecting it. Okay? So, Ela amar Rabba, Kasava Rabbi Yossi, Isha Mazna Mitapechet, Kedei Shelo Titaber. Here there's birth control after the fact, right? We know there's two kinds of birth control, right? You could do it before, or there's some method you could do something after. So what does she do? She tries to like shake it out after. Okay, we actually saw this source before. So what about Rabbi Yehuda then? Why is he not concerned? Why does he say you have to wait 3 months? Okay, you can see how primitive their methods of birth control were, okay? Very, very primitive, obviously. V'ida chayshinan shem alon hebcha yafe yafe. Rabbi Yehuda says this isn't a good method of birth control, okay? It's not foolproof, which we would kind of agree with. So therefore, you know, we can assume, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we can assume she did that, however, we can't necessarily assume it's going to work, and therefore she has to wait the 3 months. So Rabbi Yossi is satisfied enough with that method of birth control that he's not concerned. Okay, there ends that part of the sugya. Now we're going to move on to another thing. The continuation of the Mishnah says, the end of the Mishnah, about this din of kimleh, they learn it from v'lo yason anesh yanesh, and that's been our pasuk until now. Now we're going to see, okay, I didn't get to finish, but I started a chart on the backside. We're going to see that they actually learn it out also from a different pasuk. Okay, it's not the only pasuk. The Gemara asks, "Vahame hachanafke?" Do we really learn it from "Vilo yason anoshi anesh"? Mehatam nafke. It comes out of this pasuk. Kidei rish ato. Okay, here's the pasuk. The whole pasuk. Vayayim bin hakota rasha. Vipilo shafet biikau lefanav kidei rish ato bimispar. When you get malkot, you get punished according to the rish'ah that you did. Okay, so what are they darshan on this? Mishum rish'ah achat atamachaybo v'iyah atamachaybo mishum shtei rishuyot. Okay, rish'ato is singular. So they say, we can darshan from here, that you only get punished for one avirat, you don't get punished for two. This is our source for kimlei. So we have one source for kimlei from Ason, and the other source from the Malka, which, right, so now we're going to obviously see, right, why do you need both? Chada b'mita u'mamon, v'chada b'malkot u'mamon, right? The topic of one is mavet, and the topic of the other is malkot. So we're going to say, okay, and here I tried it out, obviously this is only according to chachamim, who say you don't get malkot and pay. But if you remember, we had Rabbi Meir, who says you do get malkot and pay. So we'll have to deal with that in 1 minute. So now, first we have to explain why you need both, why you can't just learn one from the other. Utzricha, di'yesh mina mita umamon, mishum di'ika ibud neshama. When there's ibud neshama, so we say, okay, well, obviously, right, we're going to say you're going to get killed, so we're not going to give you another of it, punishment. But malkot umamon, di'leika ibud neshama emalo, maybe you wouldn't have thought it would apply there. Maybe you could get malkot and pay. It's not as severe. V'iyesh mina malkot umamon, if you had only malkot umama make your patra from mama, what would you have said? Mishum deloch chamir isure. Maybe a malkot will patra from the mama because you didn't do something so terrible. You were only chayav malkot. Aval mito umama de chamir isure emalo. This goes according to what Shoshana was saying at the beginning of class. What do you mean? You killed someone and you robbed them or something. And now we're going to say you did something so severe. We're going to say you don't have to pay. Like why are we being nice to you if you did something so terrible? So therefore, tzricha. That's why you need both the limudim to teach you. It applies both here and there, and that's why you need two psukim. So now, will the Rabbi Meir damar lokel mishal and tarte lamali? So what does he do with the two psukim? B'mita chada b'mita umamon b'chada b'mita umalkot. He holds kimle not by malkot and mamon. He holds it by mita and malkot. Mita overrides mamon, and mita overrides malkot. And that's what we see, kedei rishato. You only get malkot when there's one rish'ah, meaning when there is no death. He would basically say, this pasuk doesn't apply if you already have some other resha upon you, some other avera upon you. Utzricha, and why do you need both, according to him? De'iyash me'ina, right? We wouldn't have even thought you'd need this, right? Because obviously if there's death, it overrides everything. So what's the difference here? Utzricha. De'iyash me'ina mita umamon mishum dechada begufe bechada bemamone lo avdina. You might have thought that mita is for your goof and mamon is not for your goof. So therefore, we're going to say, okay, we did one thing for your goof and it patras the thing that doesn't relate to your goof. Aval mita umalko de'idi be'idi begufe ema mita arichtahi. Maybe you'll think, let's give him malko because it's almost like the beginning stages of death. We talked about this. The malko is almost a form of death. So, since it's all one category, let's give you all of it. Now they're going to obviously say the flip. V'yesh mina mita umalko detarte begufe lo avdinan. Right? Maybe you would say the opposite then. If we gave you only mita umalko, this is a perfect proof of that Gemara logic can be flipped entirely. Okay? Now they're going to say the exact opposite. If we only gave you mita umalko, you would say, oh, well, those are two things in your goof. We're not going to give you two things in your goof. Why would you think that? Right? Which we just said a second ago. Well, the more so we give you two things in your goof because it's just one big continuum. But if it's mita umalko, you'd say tarte begufe lo avdina. And if I'm mita umamo, dechad begufe v'chad b'mone ema ne'avi be tzricha. And that's why you need them both. Okay? Because you don't know which one we would exclude. Okay. In other words, you have to remember here, it's not that they're saying this is the most logical thing. This is just what people would have inferred. Some people would think this logic, and some people would think the exact flip logic. So because of that, we can give you both so that there's no confusion. New pasuk. V'lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach lamali. Now we're going to bring all sorts of psukim that seem to also indicate the din of kimle. Lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach seems to imply also the din of kimle. Why? Even though this isn't exactly the pshat, this isn't how we understood it before, and the Gemara is going to explain right away it's not. But first they think, lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach sounds like, if you're going to be killed, then we don't take mamon. Kofer is always mamon, right? Kapara, money for kapara. So you don't take money when you have a rotzeach. So then why do you need this pasuk? Da'amar Rahman, I know this is what it means. Lo tishkol mamon emine b'tiftera mikalpa. Don't take money in lieu of him dying. In other words, don't say, oh, I'll pay my way out, right? Like people bail themselves out of jail. Okay? Don't say, we'll take money and you won't get killed. That's what it means. Okay, another pasuk. Lo tikhu kofer lanus el ir miklato. Now we're taking a case of rotzach b'shogeg. Again, what are they thinking originally? That you can't take money. You don't have to pay money in a case where you go to the ir miklat, in a kimle case. Because it says, lo tikhu kofer, to someone who's nas el ir miklato. So then why do we need that pasuk? We wouldn't need it to teach us kimle. We already have the other pasukim. So again, they learn it the same way as they learned the previous pasuk. What it means is, Da'amar Rahmana, lo tishko mamona mine v'tiftere min galut. Don't take money to basically say, oh, you don't have to go to Ir Miklat. Don't pay your way to prevent you from going to Ir Miklat. Utre krai lamali. Now they say, well, if both those cases mean you can't bail yourselves out of a death penalty, right? Whether it's death penalty or Ir Miklat with money, you can't pay your way out. You have to either be killed or go to Ir Miklat. Why do you need both those psukim? Right? You could have learned one from the other. So what do they say? Chab shogeg v'chab mezid utzriche, and you need them both. Why? Di'iash mi'in mezid, what would you have thought? Mishum dechamer isure, right? You would have thought, oh, well, mavet, you can't pay your way out if you do it b'mezid because that's so horrible. But shogeg, de'lo chamir asure emalo, but maybe in shogeg, you can pay your way out. Di'iash mi'in an shogeg, what would you have thought was shogeg? Mishum deleka ibud neshama. It's not as severe the punishment, right? So you might have thought, therefore, you can bail yourself out. Therefore, you can't bail yourself out because the punishment's not so horrible. Better to go to Ir Miklat and don't bail your way out. But maybe when it comes to a case where we're going to kill you, maybe the Torah wants to have tzav rachmanut alecha, and we're not going to kill you. We'll let you pay your way instead of getting the death penalty. And therefore, it's tzricha. But that's not the case. We need, you know, it's true across the board. Now, you just might have thought that, and therefore, they bring both pasukim. Okay, another pasuk. Ula'aretz lo yichupar ladam asher shufach ba. Okay, here's a pasuk. Here, I'll read the whole pasuk. Ve'lo tachnifu et ha'aretz asher atem ba. This is in the context of the Ir Miklat, and where it talks about when you kill b'shogeg, you kill b'mezi, different situations here. Ki hadam hu yachnif et ha'aretz, v'la'aretz lo yichupar ladam asher shupach. It's a very hard pasuk to understand. Okay? The land will not do kapara on the dam asher shupach ba, ki im b'dam shofcho, only once you spill that blood. In other words, the only way to resolve someone like a rotzach is to kill him. That's what it seems to imply. So now, doesn't that seem to say, Lamali, doesn't that seem to say the same thing, that you can't pay your way out? Right? And they're taking all these psukim and they're saying, they all seem to be saying the same thing. So why do we need it? Mibayle l'chidetanya, they need it for this braita. Minayin she'im nit arfa egla, v'achar kach nimsa ha'horeg, minayin she'im potrim oto. Sh'ne'amar, v'la'aretz lo yichupar l'adam asher shupach ba. Do you remember the case of Egla Arufa? Egla Arufa is a case where they find a dead body in between two cities and they don't know who killed him. So they take the chachamim of the city, they measure which city it's the closest to, they take the chachamim, they take an egla, they smash the back of its neck, and that's why it's called Egla Arufa, from the oref, the neck, and they say, Yadenu lo shafach et adam anaki hazeh, and they do this to basically be mechaper on the fact that someone killed and isn't getting punished. What if they do that whole tekes, and then you find out who really did it? A year later, I don't know, a few days later, whenever it is, you find them. Well, now you say, we already were mechaper for this avon, so we don't have to kill the guy. And that's what they come, no, no, no. There's no kapara that's going to deal with this guy. If this guy is found, we kill him. It reminds me, by the way, of we learned about the asham taloi. You remember, if you do an aveiran, you're not sure if you did it or not, you bring an asham taloi. When you find out later, if you do, now that's mechaper alecha right now. But if you were to find out for sure that you did this avera, then you have to bring an asham badai. Your asham taloi doesn't help deal with if you know definitively. So here the same thing. This is a kind of kapara only if you don't know, if it's question mark. Once you find out for sure, well then you have to. And that's what they learn from this pasuk. Okay? Last pasuk we'll deal with now. The end of the section of Egla Rufa says, now, what do we assume that means, the pshat? if you were to find the guy after we did this whole tech test, you still have to be Meva'er Hadam and Akim Mikrabecha. This guy can't go off scot-free just because we did the Egla Rufa. So we don't need that pasuk because we just said we learned it from somewhere else. So what do we need this for? Mibayle lechidetanya minayin lemumatim b'sayif shehu min hatzavar Talmud lomar va'atata ve'er Hadam and Akim Mikrabecha hukshu kol shofchei damim le'egla Rufa. Mala halam min hatzavar af shofchei damim min hatzavar. So now, what are they saying? We're learning from this pasuk. This pasuk means, if you kill someone, what's your punishment in court? You get hereg, which is saif, which is with a sword. So what are they saying? At the end of this Egla Rufa thing, comes to teach you about anyone who kills someone, and you have to get killed by the court, and they're taking it out of the context. You're saying it refers to horeg bebeitin, someone who gets cherev in court for killing someone else. How did they do that makav? How did they do the killing of cherev? They do it like the Egla Arufa. They do it from his neck. Okay? So now they say, wait, if they're going to learn it from Egla Arufa, imala halam bekofitz umimul oref. If you remember this from Pesach, we learned about the kofitz. It's a really big, like a cleaver, a huge knife they use with the Egla Arufa, and they do it from the back. So if that's the case, is that how you're supposed to do it in Beitin? If you're learning it from Egla Rufa, well then, learn it all the way. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bravu, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, here's a great Pasuk, Bahavta l'reacha kamocha, bror lo mita yafa. Okay, when you kill someone, kill them in the quickest way possible. Okay, and or the best way possible. Don't kill them with a kofitz in the back of his neck. First of all, why is it quicker? If you kill him here, right, you're going to immediately cut off his, you know, the, right. So if you kill him in the back, it's going to break his neck bone, but it's not going to necessarily kill him right away. I don't know if that's totally true, by the way. I need someone who knows more about this kind of stuff. But that's what they say. This is not the best method of killing someone. You want to do it the quickest way possible. And that's why, as you learn here, the location of where you kill him, but you don't learn the method and the location with a little bit of fine-tuning, because we have not just that drasha, but we have another conflicting thing, which is v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and we want to treat people in a humane manner, even when we're going to kill them. Okay.